Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
There's some kind of crazy dynamics that go on, and whenever you get into one of these hot topics, not only are the questions complicated, but all the emotions, all the opinions, all the consequences get elevated too. Because you can bring up any number of these questions. Maybe it has to do with politics, or maybe it has to do with healthcare or economics, or maybe it has to do with morality. And it's not just a philosophical question. All of these questions carry with them some sort of weight that either affect you or your family or your kids or your grandkids, and you are faced with all these emotions and all this baggage associated with it. And you look at the world and you can see all these hot topics. Let me give you a few. It may be abortion, gender identity, sex, medical assistance in death, the environment, alcohol, drugs, the economy, prison, crime, U.S. politics, all of the electric vehicles, you name it. Like, I'm sure all of you have some of those hot topics just swirling around in your head or swirling around in conversations at work or at school or at home or with your extended family that you kind of keep at an arm's length or a leg's length, whichever is longer. And you kind of keep those people separate because you know that once you get into a conversation with them, one of these hot topics is going to come up and they're going to start boiling. So what are you supposed to do when one of these hot topics come up? How are you supposed to handle it, and how are you supposed to share your opinion and kind of give your response to these things? Because it would be simple, it would be nice if we could just say, well, just shut your mouth and don't say anything ever and walk away. But the reality is that you have your own personal opinions and you have your own personal connection to these questions that affect you and your family and those around you and society as a whole. And so these things are important to you too. And so the question is, you've got to talk about it at some point, somehow. So how are you supposed to talk about it? Well, I think there is one main idea that you have to keep in mind when it comes to hot topics. And that is that you must speak with your life before you open your mouth. You need to speak with your life before you open your mouth. Now let's open that up and let's dig into that, okay? So the first thing you need to understand in order to live that out is you need to understand that when you are facing hot topics, and some of those are unique to you and some of those are widespread, you need to first understand why you want to stand for whatever it is you're going to stand for. Why do you stand up? Why is it that you're bothering to even have the argument? Why are you going to talk through these things at all? Why bother? Why bother? Well, in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, "Then Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age.'" James 1:27 says, "Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Isaiah 58 verse 10 says, "And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday." What do those verses have to do with this? The why. The why. Why we bother standing on some of these subjects, on some of these topics, is because we want to see the kingdom of God advanced. We want to see disciples of all nations. We want to see pure, faultless religion that is taking care of orphans and widows. We want to see taking care of the hungry and satisfying the needs of the oppressed so that our light shines in the darkness. That is why you can take a stand on some of these matters. If you have a reason other than that, then it may not even be worth fighting for. If you have another reason, it might not be worth it. If you are willing to stand and fight somebody on a subject, but it does not advance the kingdom of God, it does not help take care of orphans and widows, and does not satisfy the needs of the hungry and the oppressed, and let your light shine in the darkness, then you may not have a good enough reason to fight that fight. If you are willing to fight with somebody and put and take the risk and put it on the line because that's just what you prefer, you should probably maybe not even bother. If you're willing, if you want to fight with that because that's just going to be what you like, or because you don't like the other option, if it's personal preference or it's somehow going to benefit your kids but ruin the life of other kids, then maybe it's not worth fighting for. If you're going to bother taking a stand on a hot topic, then you have to have a very good reason why. Advancing the kingdom of God, making disciples of all nations, taking care of widows and orphans, the oppressed and the hungry. Every other reason is going to fall apart. Every other reason is going to fall apart, and it is not strong enough to stand on. So, number one, you need to know why you stand, and it needs to be standing on the mission of Christ. Now, the next question you've got to ask is, what do we even stand for? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." You need to know what you believe. You need to know why you believe it. You need to understand. You can't just form your opinion based on random tidbits and random facts that have been swirling around. You cannot stand and have an argument with someone based on something you saw posted on the internet. You all know this, but for some reason we don't function this way. Just because you see it in writing with a picture on Instagram or Facebook or even on a poster, just because you see it posted somewhere does not make it true. Just because you see someone post a video, post a meme, post a big long rant on Facebook or whatever social media you're using, just because somebody texts you a message does not make it true. And you all know that. There's so much foolishness out there. But for some reason, we think, you know what? I saw somebody post that the other day, so it's got to be true. No. You've got to do your research. You've got to know. You've got to study. You've got to understand the reasons for your opinion. What is it? What is it that you actually believe, and why? You've got to know that. Peter says you've got to know the reason why you believe what you believe. So, keep in mind why you stand, what you stand for, and then you need to understand where you stand. Where is it that you're going to take a stand? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for our own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Luke chapter 9, verses 53 to 56 says, but the people there did not welcome Jesus because he was heading for Jerusalem. And the disciples, James and John, saw this and they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire down from heaven to destroy those people with the wrong opinion? Can I get an amen? Come on, can I get an amen? Cast down fire on those that oppose your opinion. That was a joke. Come on, people. Relax a little. Relax. Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. One of the first places we need to take a stand is in our own homes. Take a stand in your own home. Don't bother sharing your opinion all over the world if you're not bothering to take a stand in your own home. And secondly, when you come up against people that want nothing to do with you or want nothing to do with your opinion, your job is not to rain fire down on them from upon high. Sometimes it's just to move on. That's what Jesus did here. They didn't want to hear from him. They didn't want what he had to say. Okay. And he just moved on. And there are other examples of that in the New Testament where they were supposed to go and share the good news of Jesus with others. But if they didn't want to hear it, Jesus said, you should get out your Bibles and beat them over the head with it until they submit. Amen? Again, that was a joke. Relax, people. No! No! He doesn't say anything like that. He says, if they don't want to hear it, move on. There are people that do want to hear it. There are people that are ready to hear it. You don't need to convince the people that are hostile. You need to be ready to share the reason with those who are willing to hear it. So stay in your own home and those that are ready to hear it. And if people would want to oppose you, they don't want to hear it, don't bother. And so the next question, when do you stand? Well, that's essentially when someone is open to it, when the Holy Spirit leads you to do it, and don't do it when the Holy Spirit says don't do it. And there are examples of that. Paul, on his missionary journey, wanted so badly to go to Rome. He wanted so badly to go to other places, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go there. And so Paul didn't fight that. He followed the leading of the Spirit. And when the time was right, then he went to Rome. And so you've got to trust the timing of God's leading and look for when people are open to it. Okay, so the why, the what, the where, the when, and finally, you get to the how. And this is essential. I'm going to read to you a bunch of verses, and then I'll explain them. Romans 13:1 says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." The authorities that exist have been established by God. 1 Timothy 2:11, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." Titus 2:8, "Live with soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." Romans 12:18, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." 1 Thessalonians 4:11, "And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business." How many of you have heard that verse quoted to you without people even knowing that they were quoting the Bible? "Mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you." Colossians 4:6, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." You see, there are certain things about how we, as followers of Christ, are supposed to go about things. It should be different from everyone else. The themes you're hearing here are peace, living above board, living above reproach, making sure that you are living in a way that gives honor to Christ, living in a way that creates peace, living in a way that honors God Almighty, that minds your own business, isn't a busybody full of gossip, and that their conversations are filled with grace, meaning that you're not there to point blame, you're not there to ridicule and attack. Because grace is about not just forgiveness, but giving them more than they deserve. Goodness that they haven't earned. That's what grace is. Goodness that they haven't earned. And you're talking to people, and usually the conversation with hot topics is to debate someone and then to attack them and put them down so that you can feel superior. And somehow, if you put them down, then that elevates the rationality of your opinion. But the Bible says, Paul writes to the Colossians and say, your conversation is supposed to be seasoned with salt. It should taste different. It should taste good. Your conversation should taste good. It should be so filled with grace that people want more of it. When we talk about the government, there has to be honor for that government. I'll be honest, what the Canadian government has been doing lately, I don't like it. But whenever I see one of those F. Trudeau flags, I cringe. I might not like the guy, I may not agree with the guy, but I will honor him as our leader. Because he is in that position. I don't know all the ins and outs, but he is in that position because God has allowed him to be in that position. We have to live a life that gives authority to our words. We need to live in peace. We need to live a quiet life. And we need to understand. And we need to remember the why. Always remembering the why. The why of Revelation 2 that says, consider how far you have fallen, repent, and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. There is eternity at stake for you and for those around you. Don't forget that. This isn't just about momentary freedoms. This isn't just about your momentary preferences. This is about the kingdom of God and people's eternity. That's what's at play here. And if you want to fight and have an argument over some preference you have that does not have an effect on eternity, and you end up pushing somebody away from Christ just so that you can drive the car you want, or so that you have the freedom you want, or so that your children have more money than other children in the world, whatever that is, if you want to start making the kingdom of God look horrible for your preferences, then you've missed the point. You've missed the point. It says in James chapter 3, he says, not many of you should be teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways, and anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I get it. We are constantly surrounded by hot topics. Just random conversations on our phones, online. We're bombarded with it. Sometimes it is this hostile, angry statements thrown at us, bombarding us. Sometimes it's just these random facts or ideas that get thrown out, sometimes it's even just these harsh statements that says, oh, if you believe this, you're a bigot, or if you believe that, you're dumb, and everything inside of you wants to correct the error, everything inside of you wants to just fight back and say, I'm not a bigot, you're a bigot, and everything inside of you wants to defend your intelligence and defend your value and defend Jesus, and you just want to fight it, and you want to put them in their place, and how dare they say something so awful, and you want to fix that. But you better speak with your life before you open your mouth. Which means you got to remember the why, the when, the where, the who, and the how. And if that doesn't line up, then you might be better off not sharing your opinion about it to that person. Jesus didn't share his opinion with everybody. He shared it with those who were willing to listen. And Jesus made sure that his life spoke. He didn't just speak with his life. He used his words. But he made sure that his life gave authority to his words. The worship team's going to come up, and we're going to spend some time in worship, in song. Some of you here may be wrestling with this, in that you have looked at your life and you have seen how you have shared your opinions in the wrong way or at the wrong time with the wrong people, and that has caused damage. The appropriate response to that is to confess it to Christ and to repent. During these songs, the response should be to say, God, I am sorry for how I have tainted the work of your kingdom. He is a good God, and he will forgive, and he will repair, and he can restore. But our job is not to just sweep that under the rug. Our job is to seek the forgiveness of God and let him heal that wound. Others of you, you have been torn up inside by the need or the desire to share your opinions or to fight that fight, or you've been wondering, like, how can I even enter into this conversation? And now God has given you direction, and he's given you steps, and he's given you some clarity about what needs to happen in your life, or some guidelines about how you are to proceed. And what you need to do in this moment is, as we are singing these songs, you need to just lean into those and accept them and hear from God and determine and submit your life to him and say, that is what I want to do, and offer that up to him. The hot topics aren't going away, folks. They're not going away. So make sure that you speak with your life before you open your mouth about a hot topic.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.